Well, it's not conviction day for El Chapo. Oh. That was yesterday. But so it's a bad day for El Chapo.
He was found guilty.
That's
on
right.
All counts.
Wow.
Sinaloa cartel boss Joaquin El Chapo Guzman was found guilty by a federal jury on all 10 counts related to drug trafficking and faces a mandatory life sentence. U.S. Attorney Richard Donahue says the three-month trial pulled back the curtain on how drugs are brought into the United States. Guzman is scheduled for sentencing on June the 25th. The high-profile federal prosecution is seen by some experts as a largely symbolic victory for authorities as the Sinaloa cartel continues to control most major narcotics markets. Some experts warn Guzman's downfall will lead to more drug violence because now there's quite a scrum to find out who's going to be the next El Jefe.
Well, I already know. It would be El Mayo, right? I think he's already his partner.
Joining us to talk about this is former CIA Covert Operations Officer Mike Baker. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, Mike, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good day to you, sir.
Happy New Year, I think. We haven't talked since.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Happy New Year to you.
Because, you know, you never call.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm boring and I'm doing chemo. Other than that, though. Oh, yeah. I win that one, Mike.
Yeah,
I pull the cancer card. Everyone,
come back for that.
And every once in a while, I get to pull it, and it's fun. You're going to talk to a bald woman who's going through chemo, a single mom of two. Thanks a lot. Trying to make me guilty, Mike? Is that what we're doing?
Well, no. Come on.
I win.
Whining.
All right. So, Mike, what do you think? You know, you've heard of El Mayo, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's been the sort of partner, if you will, of El Chapo for a very long time. Why wouldn't he just continue doing what he did? Nobody ever talks about him, but he's definitely up there.
Well, yeah, he's in part because, look, you know, Chapo got all the oxygen, right? He
gets
all the news and,
yeah.
And he's a colorful character. It's important to get this thing over with. It shouldn't have been any surprise to anyone that he found guilty. The guy.
Well, you know, it's surprising
we could have pushed that button, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's surprising in that when you've got mob, I don't care if it's the Mexican mob or the Italian mob, you've got payoffs and you've got very nervous jurors. So here's a guy who's escaped the authorities twice. And, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if people were afraid to convict him.
He escaped the Mexican authorities and, you know, they've got, a real problem, endemic corruption. And they were able to reach inside, to some degree to affect those escapes. But this has already been baked in, right? I mean, his departure, his absence from the Sinaloa cartel has been a fact for quite some time. So, you know, they've moved on in a sense, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of loyalty amongst these individuals. So, you know, it's all kind of ruled by fear and coercion. So, he's out. I mean, and they've already restructured, and so all those battles that took place amongst the lieutenants and others to try to gain some level of control or turf have already happened. So they, as you pointed out at the beginning of this whole thing, look, you know, is it symbolic? It's important, but it's not going to impact necessarily the efficiency of the operation of the Sinaloa cartel.
Talk to me about the prosecution, Mike, because he was jailed twice, at least on two different occasions in Mexico, and was able to break out both times. The Mexicans, which sometimes play games when someone's being extradited or you're fighting over jurisdiction when you got a criminal who's committed crimes in both countries, were very happy to give El Chapo to the Americans. Could this have happened in Mexico, or is this a conviction and an incarceration that really can only be protected and only can happen in the United States?
No, I mean, I would argue other people argue differently, but I would argue that that's the case. Yes, this had to happen up here. Look, again, we do a lot of business. My company does a lot of business in Mexico. Great place, tremendous history, wonderful people, but they are suffering from a corruption problem that permeates much of that society. And they've never been able to get out from under it. So that's why
you mean corrupt police
on the street. They don't trust the Mexican authorities. They
right.
don't trust the police.
Right.
You know, the Marines are probably about the only, you know, entity or institution that they have confidence in.
What they call the federales, degree. The police, right?
Right.
They don't
right.
trust them, and a lot of them are corrupt.
Well, there. Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate, but that's just the way it has been. They've tried it at various times with, you know, some, you know, modicum of success to make changes, but you know, it's pushing a big rock up a hill. So I think you're absolutely right. This had to take place up here, but we shouldn't be under the impression that somehow that now puts a major chink in the drug trade. Look, I worked when I was in the old outfit. We did counter narcotics during the drug wars, and you could make tremendous headway against certain organizations, particularly in the heroin industry out in Asia, Southeast Asia, and it had no impact on the streets in terms of pricing or the amounts that were warehoused and available to push out to the streets. This is a problem that we've never been able to deal with efficiently.
Yeah, and it's a problem that's going to persist in the future because as long as there's demand, as long as people are doing drugs, there's going to be suppliers.
Right. Yeah. And how you get around that? Well, I mean, there's you know the one side argument that says let's just legalize it, right? Legalize it and tax it. Maybe that's where we're heading. You know, I mean, at some point you have to try something different if your policies haven't been working over the years. But that's for somebody with a bigger brain than mine.
One last question before you go, Mike. Do you believe the jurors, the judge, the prosecutors, the bailiffs, anyone involved in this trial is in any real danger?
No, like I said, they have moved on, and you know Chapo is every day he spends in jail, he's more out of touch and of less interest and importance to both the people that you know worked for him and the people that are currently running the cartel. So I think everybody can sleep easy at night.
What about the people that testified against him?
Well, you know, that depends on their individual living situations, where they're at and how exposed they are back in, you know, back in Mexico if they choose to return.
Well, a lot of them live the lifestyle, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they make choices and consequences over the years. And, you know, their demise may have nothing to do with Chapo's ability to reach out to them still at this point. But that reach is pretty limited now.
All right. Mike Baker, former CIA covert operations officer. You can get him on Twitter at MB Company Man.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
So much for joining us this morning.
No, thank you. And Jillian?
Yes, sir.
Next time I'll be more polite and I won't walk into that.
you know me. I can take a good punch and I like to dole them out, too. So it's all good, my friend. It's all good.
Oh, take care.
All right.
Mike
thanks,
Baker,
Mike.
Everyone.